tomorrow, residents of Dryden, New York, go to the polls to elect a town board, and that vote could determine the future of gas drilling in Dryden as well as other towns. Dryden, population 13,500, is just outside Ithaca, New York, and atop the gas-rich Marcellus Shale. Many residents are against the heavy industrial traffic and possible water problems that come with drilling. Others are for drilling. They hope to sell their land rights and bring in jobs. A company has already bought land rights to about 20,000 acres, and they've sued Dryden over the ban. That suit's in the courts. But it might be moot if supporters of drilling get their candidates elected tomorrow. That zoning ban could be amended. Drilling could start as early as next year. So what are the questions raised here? Well, one of them would be, since states regulate gas and oil drilling, can a town ban it? What does happen to a rural hamlet when drilling comes to town? And what is true about hydrofracking, the process of forcing water and chemicals into rock to retrieve gas and sometimes oil? Can it set your faucet afire like in the movie Gasland? Well, Abram Lustgarten is a reporter with a nonprofit, nonpartisan investigative journalism site, ProPublica. He's going to help us answer some of these questions. Abram, start with, can a town ban drilling and fracking?
In the state of New York, the state laws seem to say that no, it cannot. Towns can decide all of their local zoning issues, from what kind of trucks or vehicles or lighting or noise can happen. But state environment laws say that solely the state is responsible for the extraction of mineral resources.
Yeah, and the town is saying, you know, that they're reading it a different way. They're saying that the state law talks about regulating gas and oil drilling, any kind of drilling. The town's saying, well, we're not talking about regulating it. We're just going to ban it like we could ban mining. So that, as we said, that's in the court. But meanwhile, what is the sense of what the state is, you know, state officials are going to do? What have they said about possible drilling?
Well, the state is sending out some mixed messages, and it's fast on the way to allowing drilling. It slowed things down about 2 years ago after we first began reporting in 2008 about issues around hydraulic fracturing. And they conducted a multi-year environmental review, and they're just finishing that up now, and it's in the public comment and review process. Now, here's the unusual part. While they're waiting for public comment to be finished on that, they've started drafting proposed regulations that would govern exactly how the drilling goes forward. And that's normally a step that's taken after the environmental impact statement is completed and is partially dependent on what kind of response and public input they get. So the fact that they're running these two processes in parallel is an indication that Governor Cuomo is speeding ahead and kind of moving forward as quickly as he can on this issue.
But town officials in Dryden seem to be saying, or at least in the region, in Broome County, there seem to be saying, they get it. They know that there are problems. I was in the area recently, in the local paper, the Press and Sun Bulletin. The Democratic Broome County executive says that the state environmental officials are on track to issue very restrictive regulations. He made a trip to Pennsylvania himself. He saw unsafe sites, unsafe practices. He's drafting a local law to create special hauling permits and road maintenance agreements with companies, you know, because this is what the criticism is of. You know, aside from the concerns about, you know, what can happen to your water, and we'll get to that, that, you know, when drilling comes to town, it changes your town. And he seemed to be saying we're going to deal with that. Tell us more about what happens when drilling comes to town.
Well, it changes everything. I mean, in some ways for good and in many ways for bad. But besides the risks to water supplies and air pollution and so forth, you know, there's a great influx of both people and industrial equipment and trucks, thousands of trucks required to haul fluids to each well site. The trucks wear down roads, both paved and dirt roads. Workers that are flown in from all across the country and sometimes from Canada bring, you know, an influx of culture that's not necessarily native to that area. Places out west that have dealt with drilling booms report large increases in local drug use, in petty theft and small crimes, in all sorts of other evolving social issues that these towns grapple with.
Sure,
in addition to the disruption.
Yeah, I'm going to jump in to say there was a recent report out of North Dakota saying, yeah, they're getting a boom. They have this really low unemployment, but they're getting this influx of hardworking, hard-drinking workers in Williams County. The sheriff there says we're almost overwhelmed. And then there's the what happens to the roads. Why? Is that because of all the trucks that need to bring in this chemical water?
It is, exactly, and to cart out the chemical wastewater and to bring in the heavy equipment, the rigs themselves. It's just simply thousands of trucks that weigh, you know, collectively millions and millions of pounds, and the roads weren't originally designed to handle that kind of traffic, that kind of serious industrial traffic.
But what happens to the local economies? Again, I was just in this area. It's gorgeous. Landscapes are beautiful. But, you know, upstate New York is an area somewhat in decline. And now you'd think that the leading crop is signs, because they're sprouting everywhere in this, you know, vast rural area. You have the no fracking signs, but also I saw a big handmade billboard. Somebody had written on it, drill a well, bring a soldier home. You know, it's a popular sentiment for drilling up there, that drilling will lead to energy independence, you know, maybe no more, not as many wars. But does it improve the economy the way people in North Dakota are saying it has for them?
There's no question it brings economic benefits. And there's also no question that upstate New York and much of rural Pennsylvania, for that matter, and many other drilling areas are suffering perhaps more than most in this economic recession, and they can use the help. But it's a boom-bust kind of scenario. There are a number of jobs that are brought to these areas when the drilling happens, and not just the drilling jobs themselves, but all of the support and the economic expansion that comes with it, from hotel rooms to you know, wait staff at restaurants. But what we've seen in Colorado and Wyoming, and this goes back decades and is about oil as much as natural gas or any other resource extraction, is inevitably the activity ends and that activity goes away. And often you'll see towns that have enjoyed the benefits for a number of years but haven't necessarily built a foundation from which they can sustain it when that activity leaves. And you know, with the drilling in particular, they're bringing in many temporary employees from out of state, and some of those jobs are created locally, but many are imported, and they leave again when the activity winds down.
So the jobs leave, and how about the gas? John Sununu, former New Hampshire senator, argued recently that natural gas may not be PC, but it's the future. He wrote an op-ed in the Boston Globe. He says, look, investors are putting their money there, and that's where the future is. And, you know, the New York Times got a hold of some internal emails from federal energy officials. What those emails seem to show is that there are fears in the government that this is the next bubble, because industry projections of gas deposits in this rosy future might be optimistic.
Yeah, well, it's very difficult to tell. There's a very large natural gas resource in the United States across the states where the drilling happens. The question is how large, and there were estimates, within the last couple of years that we had a 100-year supply here, and then recently you see the U.S. Geological Survey come out and dramatically downgrade the estimate for how much resources there are, and so the numbers are kind of all over the map depending on who you ask. That said, whether it's 100 years or 20 years, there is a lot of natural gas here. It could provide some benefits, but we're also seeing an increased export of that fuel to overseas and don't necessarily have all of the infrastructure here to use it.
And by the way, that also means more LNG tankers in your harbors. That's ProPublica reporter Avram Lustgarten. We're taking a look at gas drilling and fracking, and there is a distinction, and it's an important one, and we're going to hear why when we come back to ask about the health risks. You know, why are people getting sick? Why are animals dying? Is it true that faucets are exploding as they did in the film Gasland? As people in New York go to vote on whether or not to have a ban on fracking. Back in a minute, Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to our conversation about drilling and fracking for natural gas. We're having this conversation as residents of Dryden, New York, or at least town officials in Dryden, New York, have declared a ban on drilling in their area. A company has taken them to court on that issue. But tomorrow, voters go to vote for a new town board, and it'll be interesting to see if they vote for supporters or opponents of gas drilling in that area. So as that town weighs in, we're talking to Avram Lustgarten with the nonprofit, nonpartisan investigative journalism site ProPublica, about just one, some of the questions are that are being raised about drilling for gas and fracking. And one of them is about health and the quality of water. We remember the documentary Gasland, which unearthed problems, it says, are related to drilling and fracking. For instance, people in Colorado had methane gas seeping into their water systems from the fracking below, they said. It produced a sickening but neat parlor trick. They could light their faucets on fire when the water ran.
Whoa, Jesus Christ.
That's the best I've done. I smell hair.
Oh, damn.
A resident of Colorado turning on the water and lighting his water on fire. Abram Lustgarten, again from ProPublica. When I was in the Ithaca, New York area, I heard a geologist who worked for the industry tell a radio host there that Colorado did a study and found that scene was misleading, that the methane in those faucets was there before the fracking. What's true here?
Well, it gets complicated. Methane is prevalent in places where there's problems with hydraulic fracturing, and there are two different kinds of methane that can come out of a water well, biogenic or thermogenic, and it basically refers to whether it's shallow and naturally occurring or deep and comes from the same place that the oil or gas might be mined from. So when there's reports of methane in drinking water, one of the first things you go and do is this test to determine whether the gas matches the gas that's being produced. In the vast majority of cases that I've looked at in my reporting across the country, they've found that the methane that's reported to have contaminated water is related, at least in some way, to the drilling activity.
Ah, but you say drilling. You say drilling, not fracking. Isn't that the distinction, that it might be semantics?
Oh, well, it's very much semantics, and it depends on who's defining what. The industry tends to define the action of hydraulic fracturing as the moment in the well at a specific depth when the pressure is cranked up to the point where it can actually fracture rock. So they exclude, using that definition, the injection of the fluids before the pressure is increased, or the transportation of those fluids to the site, or the mixing of them, or the disposal of them after they're removed, and all these other parts of the drilling process that we see also raise environmental concerns.
Because we understand that recently Duke University released a report, this was last spring, suggesting that it's just the drilling itself that causes methane to leak into people's water. You know, as you said, not the fracking process and the chemicals going down the well and the splitting of the rock, but the drilling itself, much like, the BP oil spill, which was because of drilling, and that, you know, this is allowing industry people to say it's not the fracking.
Well, the fracking is part of the drilling process. It's it puts more strain and force on the structure of the well than any other part of the drilling process. To the extent that that people talk about the quality of cementing and casing of the drilling structure, the construction of that pipe, it's the fracking process that tests the integrity of that well construction. So, you know, in my view, having covered this for a number of years, I see it as all sort of interwoven. The Duke research did find that there was a greater prevalence of methane in water supplies the closer one got to a well. When they said in that study that they did not connect the contamination with hydraulic fracturing, they were referring specifically to the fluids, and that is to say that they didn't find in that particular study that the chemicals that are used in hydraulic fracturing had seeped into water supplies. But they did find a strong correlation between the prevalence of methane contamination in water supplies to drilling and fracturing activity.
But Abram, you and others detail, you know, so many anecdotes of, first of all, the problems of storage of waste from the fracking, spillage of chemical water into streams, reports of people getting sick, animals dying. But the problem seems to be, as you put it, that the science is lagging and so is the regulation. I mean, there's no way to accrue all of this.
Well, that's just it. There's more questions unanswered than answered. And when we first began reporting on this, we started with some basic questions, and we went to regulators with questions like, what are you putting into the ground? What's the waste it will produce? And where are you going to put that? How will you treat it? And it was those sorts of simple questions that couldn't be answered, and it's those same questions that can't be answered now. For example, the research about what happens when you create man-made fractures deep underground, whether it's 1,000 feet or 8,000 feet, it is really incomplete. There's not a lot of published peer-reviewed research in the scientific journals to say either way, whether they do or do not cause earthquakes, or whether the fluids can migrate far enough to contaminate drinking water supplies, and so forth. And that's just one aspect of of the drilling process that illustrates the lack of scientific knowledge.
Well, meanwhile, I just have about a minute or so left, but one company has acknowledged that it did help cause earthquakes in Britain. The EPA has announced it's doing a new study on the environmental effects of fracking, but an old study was unearthed, 24-year-old case study, that seemed to show that contamination did occur unequivocally.
Yes, and our reporting and our document collection from the EPA shows that in that case you're referring to and many others, the EPA had collected complaints about water contamination from hydraulic fracturing. In anecdotal notes by EPA researchers, they seem to have drawn that connection or made that correlation. But again, not necessarily then or now have they done the robust research to understand exactly what may have happened, where and how fluids have migrated underground, if they have done that. And that's part of what the study they're taking on now may begin to look at.
Well, it's more important than ever because now the technique of fracking combines with these new modeling techniques that are telling people where the gas is. That's why we're hearing so much about it, why towns like Dryden, New York are having to make decisions about it. Avram Lustgarten of ProPublica, thanks so much for at least trying to answer some of the questions that surround the debate.
Thanks for having me.
And, of course, listeners, if you want to weigh in, we'd love to hear from you. Go to hereandnow.org. You can leave a comment there. Click on Contact Us to send an email. Get to Facebook. Let us hear from you. Latest news is next, Here and Now.
Support for Here and Now comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where the program is produced. The Institute of Contemporary Art Boston, presenting Dance Draw, an exploration of art and performance, on view now. ICABoston.org. And the Harvard Art Museums, presenting Prince and the Pursuit of Knowledge, exploring connections between Renaissance art and science. On view through December 10th. HarvardArtMuseums.org.